in a foreign language. The preacher preached in that language, and they sang hymns in Hungarian. And boy, those Hungarians can cook. Oh my! My mom stayed in the kitchen. That was her favorite room. She cooked. She'd cook all day long. I got them a microwave, and you know what? They never used it. I used the microwave when I came over, and she'd cook on the stove, stove or in the oven, and all the Hungarian dishes and the pastries and so forth. And so, Vaperzan, unusual name. It's really three syllables: VAP, that's VAP, REZ, VAP, RIZ, SAN. Sand, Vapriz Sand. So now you know it. Can you spell it? My name is spelled J-O-H-N. Now I'd like to introduce my girlfriend. I brought my girlfriend with me today, and her name is Linda. Would you mind slipping your hand up, Linda? She's my girlfriend. Her name is Linda Simpson, and she's also my wife, so she's got the last name of Vaprizan. She loves me. She went from Simpson to Vaprizan. Isn't that good? Yeah, it really is. Okay. Well, let's see here. How about if we turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. Chapter 6. And we'll read a few verses there as we start out for the Sunday school lesson. I'm glad that you're here. And now your pastor's away, but the members aren't playing, are they? They say the cat's away, the mouse will play. So you're here, and I'm glad that you're here and you're being faithful. And let's see. Let's start out at the first verse, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus here is saying, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou doest alms, let thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, our Heavenly Father, I pray that this time, the Sunday school hour, would make a difference. Lord, may we give our attention to your word and the principles that are found therein. Lord, help us to want to really please you in our lives. And may you be pleased with that which we do. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here. It's a Sunday. We're supposed to be in church. But you know how wonderful it is that not only are you here because you're supposed to be, but because you want to be. I love church. I've always loved church. They're my family. I met my wife in church. I was 16. She was 14. We dated, or we sat next to each other in church, youth activities and so forth, went teen soul winning, and then 5 years later, we were married, and so many, many wonderful things certainly have happened in church. Now, we had been only married for, maybe five years or so. And we both grew up in Hammond, Indiana, and that was where our home church was, First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. We were serving in the church as Sunday school teachers. I had the privilege of being a deacon, and We served in the junior church on Sunday morning and so forth. But on this particular Sunday, we were in Buffalo, New York. We had attended a wedding of a cousin on Saturday evening, and with my mom and my dad, and we only had one child at the time, and John was four. And so we stayed overnight, and we went to church, in Baptist church, there in Buffalo on a Sunday morning. And I soon realized that this was not a Baptist church that was anything like our church and like your church. In fact, the hymns were completely different. And when the pastor got up to preach, he wasn't preaching the Bible whatsoever. Now, I've been in several of these churches on vacation. I remember one of them, the pastor preached on, I remember the title, The Light of Imagination in Man. And he spoke about the importance of having an imagination and so forth and how wonderful it is. He didn't say anything from the Word of God. Another Baptist church that we attended one service, the pastor talked about ecology and the importance of picking up bottles and cans on the side of the highway and making the area look nice and so, and that was his message. Well, this time I was 27 years old. I had graduated from college with a double major in accounting and business management. I was working in downtown Chicago in an accounting firm. Wonderful job. And been working there for about 4 or 5 years, and everything was wonderful. In fact, we were buying our home that we were in, and it was just a blessing to be there in that area because we wanted. I had an opportunity to go anywhere in the world. This was an accounting firm that had offices in every major city in the world, except for communist countries. And I could go anywhere. Well, I said, I want to be located in Chicago because I wanted to be located there so I could go to our home church. We loved our church, loved our pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, and it was an incredible church. And but I was sitting in this service, and I was brokenhearted for the people. There was a good group of people there, but they weren't getting the gospel. And I said, Dear Lord, there's got to be people in the service that aren't saved, because they're not getting the plan of salvation, they're not getting the gospel. And it was at that moment, I might as well heard literally a voice. And I heard it in my mind, John, I want you to preach. I had absolutely no doubt that God at that moment had called me to preach. I wasn't expecting it whatsoever. It was a shock to me, and it was a shock to everybody. I shared it with my wife the next day on Monday. In fact, we drove home. I went to work in downtown Chicago, came home, and I shared with my wife that God had called me to preach. I didn't know how she'd react, but she said, whatever God wants you to do. I know that she was surprised. I called my parents up. They lived about, I don't know how many miles away. They lived in Hammond, Hessville, part of Hammond. And I said, are you going to be home? I said, I want to come over. And so I went over to their home, and we sat down around the kitchen table, and my mom said, I know what you're going to say. I said, what, Mom? She said, you're going to tell us that Linda's going to have another baby. I said, no, Mom, that's not it. Mom, Dad, God has called me to preach. It was a shock to them, because I wasn't preaching material at all. Folks that knew me, I was on the shy side. I was an introvert. I was not an extrovert whatsoever. And the first thing my mother said when I said, God's called me to preach, she looked at me and she said, son, are you sure? I said, Mom, yes, I'm sure. Well, I was able to get an appointment with my pastor that same week, which was very unusual. We talked, and I said, preacher, I think God's called me to preach. Well, I sort of hedged a little bit when I said, I think I knew it. And he said, well, John, sometimes when God speaks of the heart of a layman like you, a deacon and so forth, sometimes the Lord wants you to do more in the church and serve him in a greater capacity in the church. And I said, well, let me share this with you, preacher. I know that God's called me to preach, and I am burning up on the inside. Something was going on in the area where we feel our emotions, right in here, and it felt like the Holy Spirit was doing somersaults, and I had butterflies, and I mean, I had never felt like this before in my life. And I said, preacher, I am literally burning up on the inside. I know that God wants me to preach. You know what I started doing? And by the way, we planned out the future. Hiles Anderson College was going to be opening up in 11 months. He said, John, just wait for the college to open up and go back to school again. And that's what I did. But here's what I began to do. I began to pray. Now, I knew how to pray, and I prayed, but I tell you what, I began to pray like I'd never prayed before in my life. I just kept begging God because I knew that I could not do this. And I prayed and begged God, oh God, please, oh God, I know that you want me to preach. I knew he wanted me to pastor. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, please. By the way, you know what I found out? God can use anybody that's willing to be used. Anybody. He's just looking for a willing vessel. He's looking for a human being. That's all. And so we had a little home, two-bedroom home, and we had a basement. I'd go down in the basement, and I'd pray and beg God. And then my wife would come downstairs for something. The washer and dryer was down there. And then so I'd go upstairs. And the only room that had a lock on it upstairs was the bathroom. So I'd go in that bathroom, and I'd lock the door, and I'd get on my knees. There's a seat there in the bathroom, and it's sort of the permanent thing. It doesn't move around. And I'd kneel at that seat right there. And by the way, my advice is if you ever do that, if you pray there, it wouldn't be a bad idea to make sure the lid's closed. And so I did that, and I'd beg God and so forth. And by the way, that's when I really got a hold of Jeremiah 33:3. Anybody know Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me, God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I said, dear God, and I called unto him. Oh boy, did I beg God. Well, I had to quit my accounting job because now school was going to start, college was going to start. And I went to college from 8 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I had to quit my accounting job, and I was able to get a night watchman job at the Inland Steel Company. At that time, they employed 22,000 people. It was quite a big operation. And so I would go to school, come home, go to sleep. My wife would get me up, and I'd start work at 9. By the way, it was a 20-mile drive. To write down Interstate 94 that way from Riverdale, Illinois, where we live, south of Chicago, to Inland Steel. And so for 20 miles, I begged God in that car. I mean, I prayed, I wept. Dear God, please, I can't do this on my own. Dear God, you've got to help me. You've got to bless me. Holy Spirit, please, I beg of you. You said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, I got off work at 5:30 in the morning. Another 20-mile drive to my home. I take a shower, and I go to bed for 1 hour. And then my wife would get me up. I'd go to college. And by the way, a different direction to college, another 20-mile drive. Would you like to guess what I was doing for that 20 miles? By the way, any of you prayed while driving? You didn't close your eyes, did you? Oh, no, good. Okay. I wouldn't advise it. But hey, I'll tell you what. While you drive is a good time to pray. It really is. Many times when you're driving, you're by yourself. I mean, I like to pray out loud. And so that's what I did. 20 miles of school, 20 miles home, 20 miles of work, 20 miles home and so forth. And continued to beg God over and over and over again. Well, it was graduation time. And I knew God wanted me to preach. I knew He wanted me to pastor. I knew He wanted me to start a church. And I had to know where. It was about 5 or 6 weeks before graduation. And I had no idea where I was going to go to start a church. And I had been begging God. So one night, the only night that I had the security guard in the main office building of Inland Steel, that night I took a map with me, a map of the United States. And I had to go from office to office to office to office. Every hour I had to call in and so forth, tell them where I was and so on. But as I went to office, I'd open that map, I'd put it on the floor, I knelt over that map, and I begged God, "Oh God, please, please, dear Father, show me where you want me to start a church. I've got to know where you want me to start. I know that you want me to start one. I know you call me to preach, call me to pastor." And so through that night, for the entire time, I begged God, "Please show me, please show me, please show me." The next morning, I had an 8 o'clock class. At 9 o'clock, I had a free hour. And one of the other students came up to me and said, "Hey, John, there's a note on the bulletin board. God has your name on it." And so I went to that bulletin board, pulled the paper off, opened it up, and it said, "I need to see you at 9 o'clock in my office." Well, it was the dean of students. He was also the vice president of the college. His name was Max Helton. And so I went to his office. It was a few minutes after 9. He said, "Have a seat, John." And I had no idea what this was about. He said, "Listen, I know you're graduating." He said, "We've heard of an empty church building in Belleville, Michigan. Might be a good place to start a church." He didn't have to say anything else. That was it. I had been begging and begging and begging God that very night. I said, "Where is Belleville in Michigan?" He said, "Really, John, I don't know, but I've got a Michigan map." So he turned around and pulled out a drawer. He had a number of maps. He had a Michigan map. He opened it up, and of course, got all the cities there and the towns and villages and so forth. So he went down the A's and B's. He said, "Let's see, Belleville. John, Belleville's not on the map." Well, you know, when I was going over the map of the United States, I went over all the states and, of course, all the major cities. And I thought for sure I was going to a major city somewhere. I was going to Atlanta, or I was going to Los Angeles, or I was going to Phoenix, or I was going, and so forth. He said, "Belleville's not on the map." Well, I know that there's a lot of wooded areas. Have you ever heard of the term the boonies? I figured, well, that's where I was going. But I knew that God had answered. And then, of course, then we found out where Belleville was. And by the way, when we moved to Belleville in 1973, it was country. It really was. It was nothing like it is now. It's really grown up. And it's a blessing because we're definitely reaching more people. Folks, there's no substitute for prayer. Let me ask you. Do you really pray? I'm talking about more than just before the meal. I'm speaking about more than just before you go to bed. "Now I lay me down to sleep, you know, I pray the Lord my soul to keep," and so forth. I mean, do you really pray? Did you know that is an extremely major doctrine in the Scriptures? We're born again people. Most everybody here is saved, if not everybody is saved. And we are supposed to be communicating with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior, with the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Are you familiar with the name J. Hudson Taylor? J. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary in China. An amazing story. I've read the story of his life and his ministry, and I've wept as I've read through it. J. Hudson Taylor said, "Prayer is transacting business with God." Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher of the early days of our country, spoke of storming heaven by prayer. That's how you get things done. That's how God works in your life. That's what it's all about, praying and asking and begging and pleading. So many illustrations in the Scriptures about prayer that the Lord gives us. Charles Finney said, "Be full of prayer whenever you attempt to preach." Maybe that's a good idea before you teach your Sunday school class, or before you go ahead and go soul winning. There's a Baptist preacher and an evangelist from years ago by the name of A.C. Dixon. Listen to what he said. He said, "When we depend upon our money, and we depend upon our teaching and our education, and when we depend upon our preaching, we get what these can do. But when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do." I didn't ask you to keep your Bible open, but I want to read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 6 that we read a moment ago. Matthew chapter 6, if you haven't, you can go ahead and look at it. It's verses 5 and 6. Look what Jesus said. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." Now we have three kids. Our last child was not only a surprise, he was a shock. We did not expect to have our last one. Our first one, a boy, he pastors in Arkansas. After that, we weren't able to have any more children. So we contacted Dr. Lester Roloff. Some of you remember him or know the name. And he had a home for girls that were pregnant and they weren't married. We contacted him, and we were able to adopt our daughter from Dr. Lester Roloff. And that was a great blessing. Well, about 19 to 20 years go by since my wife had our boy, and she said to me, "Guess what, honey?" And I said, "What, honey?" And she said, "We're going to have a..." I said, "No way." I mean, here, I'm going to be 42 years old, you know. Not, I mean, that was then. And I wasn't expecting, our oldest son, he was going to be, in fact, he was out of the house already. He was gone, and our daughter was going to be entering the teenage years, and it wouldn't be too many years that the house would be empty and so forth. And I said, "No way." Now, this is the honest truth. For 4 days, I walked around like this. "I can't believe it. We're going to have..." It was hard to say. But Todd's been a good boy. In fact, he's our youth pastor now. And he's a real blessing to us. When Todd was not quite 4 years old, I remember this very, very well. In fact, when he started to talk, when he was two and three, he loved his dad in a very special, unusual way. He couldn't wait for me to get home. He'd wait. We had like a bi-level, I guess you call it, and you could go, you enter the front door, you go down or go up. And so he'd stay at the top of the stairs, and I'd come in the door, and he would just say, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home, yay, Daddy's home, Daddy's home." I'd sit down on the living room couch or chair, and he'd crawl up on my lap, and he'd look at me face to face, and he'd take his hands like this, and he'd just do this, and he'd just look at me, and he'd say, "My dad, my dad." It's a good thing he didn't know he could ask for things, because he'd get just about anything that he wanted. And then he'd say, "Dad?" I'd say, "Yes, Todd. Do you like me?" "Well, of course I like you, Todd." And then he'd say, "Dad, do you love me?" "Yes, I love you, Todd. I love you." He's a very loving young man. And he takes after me. I mean, he's got so many good qualities. But before he was 4 years old, he was 3 years old, We were visiting a Dr. Tom Malone's church in Pontiac, Michigan, and I can recall it was raining outside, and we were in the lobby area before we went in their auditorium, and he said, Dad. I said, yes, Todd, what do you want, Todd? He discovered that he could whisper. And he said, Dad, you know what? I said, what, Todd? He said, it's raining outside. I mean, that was the neatest thing in the world, that he could whisper and nobody else could hear what he was saying to me. Dad, he said, I got a secret. Well, so do I have a secret. And the Word of God says that Jesus tells us about that secret. He said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is the secret of my life as a born-again believer, as one who serves God. I happen to serve God as pastor. Many of you are serving God in various areas here in the church. And this is the secret to getting things done for God that will last for all of eternity, for God to really work in your life, for God to do something very, very special in your life, so far beyond what He may be doing today. Thy Father, which is in secret. How well I remember when I was 4 years old. My mother was in the hospital. They thought she had tuberculosis. She was in the hospital for many, many weeks. My dad worked at Inland Steel, and I stayed at my Aunt Mary's house during that time. Well, I was pretty ornery. I remember that very, very well. I discovered the closet in my Aunt Mary's bedroom. She had newspaper on the floor. I guess it just helped keep the floor clean. I loved matches. I loved fire. That day they had the big long matches and to light the stove. And I knew where they were. And I could just crawl up on a chair and get up on the kitchen counter and get that big matchbox. And I took that matchbox. But I was very, very smart. When my Aunt Mary was outside in her garden in the back, and I was the only one in the house, I said, I'm going to go ahead and light the match. I love the smell of matches, by the way, after they're lit. So I hid in that closet, and I started the newspaper on fire. And it got out of control. Now, I never figured that they would ever know it was me. But I'll tell you what, I ran out of the house because the other newspaper started, and I had enough sense to run out of the house, and I can remember saying to my Aunt Mary, Aunt Mary, Aunt Mary, there's a fire in the closet, there's a fire in the closet. You know what? She knew me, and she knew I wasn't kidding. And she ran into the house, and she put the fire out. When my dad got home from work, I remember him getting a hold of me, but everything is blanked out after that. Now, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I did it again the second time. Again, the very same scenario. I think I still got marks on my body from where my dad whipped me. I don't know, but I never tried it again. Folks, in the closet that Jesus is talking about, there's also a fire. It's a different kind of a fire. It's a fire of God's people meeting with the true and the living God. You know, probably 25 years or so after I had shared with my pastor that I was burning up on the inside, he was preaching for us there in Belleville. I picked him up at the airport and was driving him to where he was staying. And he said, you know, John, he said, I remember when you came to see me. When you told me you were called to preach, he said, I remember what you said. I was amazed because he had thousands of preachers looking to him as their pastor. He said, I remember you said, I'm burning up on the inside. There's something just inexplicable, unexplainable about a very close walk with your Heavenly Father. Do you have it? Do you walk with God? Do you spend time with God? Do you really, have you gotten to really know God? Does He really make a difference in your life? I'm going to go ahead and there's so much of this message, and I've got about 5 minutes or so that I wanted to share with you. I'm trying to decide what to give you here. Oh boy, there's so much that I could give you. I'm going to go ahead and go to the very end. I found out that God will use anybody, I mentioned a moment ago, that wants to be used. I've read about Moses, who was a stammering, stuttering. We don't know exactly what it was, but he said, I can't speak, I can't do this. But God used him. God even spoke through Balaam's donkey. I figured if God could use a donkey, He might could use me. He used a crude fisherman by the name of Peter. He used anybody that wanted to be used. And my question is this. Where is your secret place where you meet with God? You and Him. Both of you. When we moved to Belleville, and we started the church in that little church building. Right next door to the church was a godly couple. They were attending a different church, but in a few years they came over to our church. Their last name was Ellis. Affectionately, he was called Pa Ellis, and she was called Granny. He was almost 70 years of age when we moved there. He was a prayer warrior. He had loose leaf notebooks of all that he prayed for. Anytime somebody would join the church, he'd pray for everybody in the family every day. He'd spend at least an hour and a half a day praying. And he was a great man of God. He was dying. In fact, when he was 70, he asked the Lord for 15 years. He said, Lord, would you give me 15 more years? He was 85. And he died. The Lord gave him 15 years. Before he died, he looked at me and said, Oh, Pastor, I wish I would have prayed for more than 15 years. When he did pass away, we got the call. And Granny called and she said, I believe Pa has died. He was bedridden by then and he was close. And yes, I went over there and I said, Yes, Granny, Pa's in glory. He's seen the Savior. I spent some time with her in the living room and we talked and we prayed. And I said, Granny, can I go into the bedroom? And she said, Yes, certainly. So I went in the bedroom. Now you got to understand this. I should mention this. For years, I get the kind of a watch that beeps. When you can set the alarm and it'll beep, and you can also set it to go off every hour and it'll beep on the hour. The reason for that is when it beeps and I hear that beep, it reminds me to pray. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would use me, that He would empower me and so forth. And that's my reminder to pray. Well, I got to the point where I wasn't hearing it all the time, especially when there's background noise going on. And so they had the watches out that not only beep, but they vibrate. Just like your phone here can vibrate, of course. And so I've got a watch that vibrates. And I feel it on my wrist. It's my reminder to pray. And I pray for the double portion. Holy Spirit, please, could I have the double portion as Elisha prayed for the double portion of the spirit of Elijah? Oh God, please, I know that I can't do this on my own. I never could. Lord, if you're going to bless the ministry, it's got to be you. Well, I was in the bedroom with Pa, and I didn't realize this, but he also had a watch that beeped. But he didn't know it. He couldn't hear it. His hearing was so bad. It had the dial on it, like the old watches, and it had a little, at the bottom, had the digital numbers also. I remember it was 10:40 in the morning. I was holding his hand with the left hand where the watch was on his wrist. And I was praying, "Oh, Holy Spirit, would you allow me, would you bless me with a double portion of pause, Spirit? What a man of God." And all of a sudden, the watch beeped. I thought it was my watch. I didn't know it was his. I looked at my watch, and it was 10:40. I said, 10:40? That doesn't make sense. It goes off every hour. It beeps every hour. Not 10:40. And then I looked at his watch. The dial said 10:40, but the digital part at the bottom, where the beep was connected to, said 11 o'clock. I cannot explain to you how special that was to me. It was like I was getting a message from heaven. "John, I know you want the double portion. I know you beg for the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit on your life and your ministry." How desirous are you for God to use you? Yesterday, one of our families, the gentleman who's 79, went to heaven yesterday. They've been in our church for 40 years. He was a bus captain from Belleville to Detroit for 25 years, every Sunday, Belleville to Detroit. 30-mile round trip, more than 30 miles as he went around the neighborhoods and so forth. Visiting every Saturday, going from Belleville to Detroit to visit, spending hours every Saturday. Sunday morning, the first bus to leave, go to Detroit, come back with the folks, and then after church, go to Detroit, and the last one to get back, 3:30 in the afternoon. That's the way for 25, he loved those people. That dear man loved God. He served God. He walked with God. Boy, did he make a difference in the lives of those dear people. God wants you to make a difference. By the way, to talk to him, you wouldn't think he was anybody special. He was sort of he was an introvert. He was quiet. He didn't smile a lot. But boy, I'll tell you what, did he make a difference. Family after family after family, he reached for the Lord Jesus. Probably, literally, thousands of people came to know the Lord through that man. And he's not sorry now that he did serve God. I want to invite you. Think about it. Young people, God wants to use you, whether it be full-time in His service, or whether it be as a Sunday school teacher, or gentleman, as a deacon, every one of you as a soul winner, to make a difference in lives. But you'll make a difference as the Holy Spirit uses you and empowers you. Jesus said this. Now, I'll close with this. He said, "Listen, gentlemen, if you have a boy who asks for some bread, would you give him a stone instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion instead? Or if he wants a fish, would you give him a serpent to eat?" Well, of course not. And then Jesus said this, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." Wait a minute, you already have the Holy Spirit. What was He talking about? Begging, "Oh dear Father, please. Oh dear God, please. Take my spirit, cleanse my spirit, open my spirit up to the Holy Spirit that He can use me so much more than I'm being used." And by the way, you can be used of God so much more than you're being used today. As you pray, as you beg God, as you spend time, I trust that you'll consider it very, very seriously. It's wonderful. It really is. And you'd be shocked at how God can use you so much more than you ever thought. That's what God did to Gene Henry, who went to heaven yesterday. He used him in a mighty way. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for